Now, broadcasting on Radio Star Worldwide, it's time for Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Let's tap into your own authentic genius and live the life you desire. Join Dr. Rademacher for an enlightened conversation about our brain intelligence, our body intelligence, and our energy intelligence. And now, here's your host, Dr. Bart Rademacher.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher, prescription for your transformation, real people, real conversations, and real success. And so I have a question for you, and this is what the show is all about today, is who is your hero? You know, who is the hero in your own life as you see yourself in your own life? And what I mean by that, what's that journey that you've chosen to follow to overcome whatever challenges and obstacles that are facing you, and then come out on the other side as a better person, as a better version of yourself? And it's interesting, when we look at these hero journeys of so many different people, you know, there's are tremendous obstacles, and the win is just absolutely amazing. And we then can relate the wisdom from this people in that particular way. And however or whatever those challenges are, that's a very personal journey. What's a big challenge for one person is a small challenge for another. So it really doesn't matter what those challenges are. It's not about comparing, but it's all about that person that comes out on the other end. And it's that personal part, that personal contribution that they then get to give to others that changes the world around us. And so for today, I'm really delighted to be talking to somebody at a very young age has already the wisdom of many of our older people and perhaps a lot more, and has the inspiration and the commitment to contribute to other people's well-being, to help them overcome whatever challenges they have in their life, whether they be small or big, so that they can live a more fulfilled life. And so I want to welcome Katie Williamson, CEO and founder of the Live, what is it, the Live Your Life Now?
The Life I Now Live.
Oh, the Life I Now Live. Yeah, my notes are scrolled over here. And so today's is an exciting part for me because she's talking my speak, and it's all about what is that connection of all the different parts within us and how often we are totally disconnected from fundamental parts of who we are simply because we don't have that awareness. And also that's part of this platform, you know, tapping into that collective wisdom, tapping into the intelligence of people like Katie Williamson, who then remind us that it's that the physical intelligence, it's that mental intelligence, it's that spiritual intelligence, and how to weave them together, not to leave one outside and alone, but how to weave it all together. And I'm very excited to be talking about how exercise fundamentally affects the functioning of our brain. So Katie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. That was quite the introduction. So thank you. I'm very honored to be here.
Well, it's all deserved. And again, I like to say this because your youth is such an inspiration for so many other youths in the world. And Sedona is an example of that. I mean, she's very ambitious and inspiration to me as well, because it's just awesome, you know, to see people like yourselves who are really committed and motivated to make a difference in this world. And so, again, Sedona, thank you for joining me today. So today should be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So tell me a little bit about the company that you have, because it really is all about, you know, living our lives. But that's such a broad thing. And so tell me what your key message is when you are out there as an author, as a speaker, and with all your workshops.
Yeah, so really the basis is of the Life I Now Live is developing or finding emotional and spiritual freedom through reclaiming our physical health. So a lot of times when we talk about health, we compartmentalize it and we focus on, okay, how can I improve my physical health? How can I improve my emotional health? How can I improve my spiritual health? And we have these buckets and things that are really great that, you know, do improve our physical health and do improve our emotional health and our spiritual health, but rarely do we think about them and how they're connected. And so at the heart of the life I now live, it's really about looking at that connection between our physical, emotional, and spiritual health, and how do we find healing in all three at the same time in order to achieve that balance in a more well-rounded way.
Wow. That's pretty smart. What do you think, Sedona?
I think so, too. I think...
Yeah.
Say again?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I completely lost my train of thought. Were you going to say something?
Well, here's the thing. We have to pick on Sedona a little bit because she's got some
naturally
very bad nutritional habits.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's going to mess things
my
up.
Lunch.
So let me ask you this question, Katie. Because you say, you know, we compartmentalize. Do you have an idea or a sense why people are actually doing that? Because to me, it doesn't make any sense to that. But sometimes I find myself falling into that trap as well. And so I'm kind of curious as to find out if you have any particular thoughts why people compartmentalize, and how is it that you help them overcome that tendency and so that they can get better balance in their life?
Well, what I've seen is that I think that it's really easy for us to check the boxes, and that helps us feel more productive, and it helps us feel like we are making forward progress. So when I decide to compartmentalize and say, okay, I want to work on my physical health, what do I have to do in order to do that? I need to eat better and I need to go to the gym. I can check those boxes. But what we fail to realize in that sense is that when we just look on like what we want to change and then how to change it, and we don't get to really the why, answering that question of why am I not exercising? Why am I eating bad food? Why am I filling my body with junk? Or, you know, why am I coming home after a long day and ordering pizza and just vegging out on the couch and then falling asleep and waking up and doing it all over again? And those are really hard questions to answer because usually the answers aren't easy. It's not easy to get up and really look at why am I doing this behavior? You know, why am I feeling so stressed that I just keep eating everything that's around me? You know, it feels a lot better to just say, oh, I'm going to go to the gym this afternoon after work, rather than stopping and putting the work in to find what is the emotional reason behind this. And then on a deeper level, you know, sometimes that emotional turmoil comes on a spiritual sense. And we all have our different definitions of spirituality or what that looks like in our lives. And so for me, when I talk about spiritual health, I really look at, you know, do the things that I believe and value line up with my actions? And so I have a set of beliefs that I, you know, when I'm doing well, line up with my actions. But like I said, even at the most basic sense, if that's what I'm looking at from a spiritual level, then that's, if that isn't in alignment, that's hard to get into. You know, what is it that I actually believe? And then am I actually living that out? That can be really scary for people. It's a lot easier to just check a box of whatever area of health it is and compartmentalize it that way. And then you also have something else to blame. Well, this diet doesn't work. This exercise doesn't
right.
work. That book was stupid.
So let me ask you this question, because I think the spiritual part is a very essential part of who we are and what mm-hmm. we do. And I'd like to reserve that for a little bit later on, because that's going to get a little deep. But it's an integral part. But here's my question more than anything else. And really, it stems from education and not having a clear, you know, outcome in mind. And so, you know, how is it that people can be inspired, or, you know, what is it? Or so let me rephrase the question. In fact, you know, why do people seek you out for those kinds of answers? Because oftentimes, so let me dial back actually my own story. What, you know, as a plastic and reconstructive surgeon, I've been in practice for 21 years. I trained for 17, and just in the medical field. And I was always very passionate about making wellness and Muslim accessible to all. But interesting enough, I would talk to people and it would just kind of go over their heads. It's like, okay, you know, and so what's the motivation for people to make the change? Because they, you know, if you take Sedona, for example, right now, who's eager to eat her muffin, you know, the research that is put into, you know, foodstuffs is just tremendous. And all these things taste so incredibly good, you know, and you get into this space of comfort, like, you know, I want a muffin. Actually, I want a muffin right now, right? But the only thing that holds me back, I'm actually talking to Sedona right now, but the only thing that's holding me back is the knowledge and of having a better nutritional plan, which is a keto diet for me, that's going to help me be a healthier person. So how do we get people to get connected with that clarity of outcome, as you and I, you know, talk about all the time?
Well, I think that you started off and hit there's one thing that you said that really stood out to me, and that is that you had the knowledge. And a lot of times I think that's the temptation, is to start with the knowledge of, hey, this is better for you if you eat an apple and some peanut butter or almond butter for your afternoon snack rather than a muffin. But, I mean, well, I'll put you on the spot, Sedona. If I say that, how does that make you feel?
I'm just starving right now. I'd like to eat my muffin.
Right. It's kind of like, okay, well, that's nice. I'm going to do me. So thank you very much.
Yes.
And so what I found in working with people is that my main thing is really just meeting them where they're at. And so if eating a muffin for your afternoon snack is where you're at and that's not a problem for you, then there's not a reason right now for you to make a change. And maybe there's an area of health that that's a different area that you want to focus on. So let's start there, where you're feeling that pain point, or where you're feeling a little bit of that deficiency, maybe, for lack of a better word. And then we'll grow from there. Because the groups that I do and get to put on, we talk about and actually improve our physical, emotional, and spiritual health every week. And all of the women that are in the class, they're all in different places, but they get that knowledge every time because they're showing up. And so, like I said, for me, you know, you asked why do people seek me out, and I do believe that a big part of it is because I'm not coming in with a solution. And a lot of times people will ask me for specific nutrition advice, right. And I've just been really honest with them that that's not really my background. And so I don't spend a lot of time there specifically. But I know that people feel heard when I meet with them, and when we're in class together, they feel valued and they feel safe. And that really sets the stage for being able to have those conversations that bring in the knowledge of maybe there's a better way.
I think that's a key point. It's really that trust factor, because again, you know, we're learning from so many different places, different people, right. Different ideas, different concepts, and you know, starting off with our own parents and then our teachers, and we're put in this direction, if you will, that we think is the best. And, you know, it's because we trusted what our mentors were telling us. And the truth is that many of our mentors were just wrong, not on purpose or anything, but they just didn't have that awareness. We have so much more awareness today than we had before. And I like your response, because, you know, I was very much in a position where, you know, I just didn't want to give up my bread. You know, I love French bread. It's like, you know, but finally something, you know, resonated with me. And please, Sedona, just eat your muffin. I'm dying here seeing you starving. So just go ahead and eat your muffin. So, okay. But the point is that, you know, if I look at someone like Sedona, I mean, in general, she's so well balanced and in so many areas. And of course, there's going to be areas that, you know, are going to fall off. And that's a choice. But I know Sedona well enough and that she has awareness of that. And at some point, she's going to change. But Sedona is not typical of so many people. So many people are just in the darkness, if you will, of what all the things that they're doing today is how it's going to impact them in the future. And there's a great term that I like to use, and you may want to use this one too, is designing your future health history now. And so as people then can look back in 10 years and realize the decisions then that they made today, you know, totally established the history, you know, that they can look back on as to what their health is. Because part of my passion, you know, is to inspire others to live their dreams, and to be able to do that, you have to be healthy. And that's where that insight and that knowledge. And so let's talk a little bit more about the relationships that you have between the physical and the emotional and spiritual, and share a little bit of, you know, what you then talk about as to how people can actually tap into that. What are some of the things that they need to look out for, and perhaps what are some of the things that they can then do so that, you know, they get that nicer balance between all three?
Sure. So how I structure my classes, they start off with 30 minutes of exercise. And in the past, you know, whether you call it a class or a Bible study, however you want to phrase it, that's not very typical. Usually that learning is not combined. And I'll be honest, it makes people uncomfortable, which because it's purposeful, I don't mind. But I do that very strategically, and that's because exercise has been shown, it's known, to really prime the brain for learning. So as you engage in, you know, high intense activity, your brain releases brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is like Miracle-Gro for the brain, and helps create new neural pathways as well as strengthen the neural pathways that are already there. And so by starting off our class with that, I'm priming their brain for learning, so they're more likely to retain the information that we go over in the coming hour. But the other really great thing about having exercise as an actual part of the class rather than optional, because I get that question, you know, can I just show up 30 minutes late because I don't really do exercise? And I say no. I mean, they can. What's funny is that I'm really big on giving people choice. And so if I get that question, which I do, I say, you are welcome to show up late. But this is why I structure the class the way I do. And, you know, you'll be missing out, but it's up to you. And I've never had someone not show up to do exercise. In fact, I had one group of women that I was going through the class with that started meeting additional times during the week and meeting on their own to continue doing exercise because they saw the benefits. And that was just so amazing to see them internalize it. But the other reason why I have it during the 12 weeks is because, you know, we don't always get to see our progress, our emotional progress, or our spiritual progress in a short amount of time. But when you show up even just once a week and work out, whether it's your weight drops or your clothes fit better, or it's just that from week 1 to week 12, now all of a sudden you can last through the whole 20-minute exercise, whereas when we started you could only do 10 minutes, that builds confidence. And, you know, people are getting to see how just showing up and trying, even when it doesn't feel good or even when it's hard, they get to experience that sense of accomplishment every week at the start of our session. And then, you know, by week 6 or 7, they're starting to apply that progress they've made with their physical health to the race that they're running emotionally and spiritually, even though they haven't seen those same gains yet. And so it's just been this really cool piece of the class that, you know, it goes to support how all of our health is connected. But you can learn lessons and apply those lessons of perseverance in our physical health immediately to our emotional and spiritual health that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise because they didn't feel comfortable exercising on their own.
You know, I like the way you position it because I wrote a book, 52 Habits for Success. And the premise of that book was if I can make success easy, you know, success will lead to more success. And so working out, as easy or perhaps difficult as it might be for some, it's something that can still be done in a relatively short period of time. And you could feel successful and you can see an improvement. And I can definitely see how that could be an inspiration or motivation for others, you know, to really then, you know, focus the time on the other parts that may seem less tangible, you know, the emotional part and the spiritual part. And I love that part. So here's a question I have, and from your background in psychology and sports psychology and things like that, is that, you know, if exercise is so beneficial, you know, with the BDNF, the brain derived neurotrophic factor, the miracle growth for the brain, if you will, does it make sense to do short bursts of exercise throughout the day if you're at work? I mean, you know, aside of the fact that getting away from the sedentary lifestyle, which we know is a horrible thing, but would that help us just being more productive to do things like that during the day?
Yeah, actually it would. And you don't have to do it for an hour. It's been shown that even with 10 to 15 minutes of just a quick bout of exercise, BDNF is released. So something like, keeping a jump rope at your desk and getting up and jumping rope for a few minutes, that for sure would help you wake up. Now, if you're, you know, working a cubicle or on the second or third floor of a building, that might be a little bit frowned upon, but there's ways around it, you know.
Just run up the stairs and run down again.
Yeah, exactly. You are priming your brain for learning in those instances. And one thing I will mention, since we're talking about that, is, you know, sometimes people want to be ultra productive while they're exercising. And I was in this camp when I was in college. And so they'll take a book and read on the treadmill or read on the elliptical machine or something like that. And it actually, you are not going to retain any information because all of your blood is, not all of it, obviously, but your blood is going away from your brain and going to the muscle groups that you're working. So it's much better to just, you know, get on there and go for 10, 15, 20 minutes and then do your reading. And you'll be a lot more likely to actually retain that information and focus more and...
You know, one thing I strongly believe in, and again, I don't believe multitasking is even possible. I mean, we do a lot of things at the same time, but that's multitasking isn't. You know, when you just stay focused on one thing, and that's actually one of the chapters in my book, is there's so much more fulfillment. There's with that presence in the one thing, you really get the essence of all of it. And the treasures that you find are so much grander than if your attention is distracted on so many different parts. Because if you're going to go out on a treadmill and you're reading a book, more than likely you're thinking about other things too. And so I totally agree with you. I think that the benefit of just really being present in the moment and taking care of it leads to so much more happiness and fulfillment and learning as well. But a question I have for you though, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you bring up a really great point because I think where we focus, that's where our energy goes also. And so when we try and focus on a lot of things at once, it feels good. It goes back to the what we were talking about when we first started, that it feels like we're productive because we're checking things off of our list. But if we take a step back, a lot of times we're really just spinning our wheels and haven't made any forward progress. But when we focus on one thing at a time, we're really able to give our full time and energy into that, and it shows. You know, we can get really clear on the direction that we want to take and what the next steps are. And, you know, you talk about moving mountains and having these incredible things doors open up in front of you. I think that happens when you're focused on one thing and pursue that. That's been my experience anyways.
No, absolutely. And I'm going to add on to that in a moment with a different question. But I did have a question that I wanted to ask you is that, is there a minimum of time that that works, that enough of the BDNF is released? I mean, could you just do it for 2 to 5 minutes instead of 15? Or do you really have to do a minimum of 15 minutes to really get the benefit of it?
If I'm remembering correctly, I thought that it was 10 to 15 minutes. But I also remembered reading about jump roping also. So I'll have to go back and check on that because I can't remember for sure.
All right. Well, let me know.
I know it doesn't have to be very much time, though.
So one of the things that I think is important, and you alluded to that earlier on, and that is that with clarity of outcome, when we're clear on what our outcomes are, that's also something that we can measure. And I think what happens a lot, people are checking off the boxes, well, I just worked out. Well, that's not really an outcome. That's just an activity. And I think the big challenge that so many people have is that they lack the awareness of, you know, what's the progress that they're making and how can they fine tune that, the physical activity or say the emotional growth in as far as determining, okay, what's my outcome? What's my timeline? And, you know, what's my progress? And I'm sure that's probably a lot that you talk about. But I have a question, which it's more on the spiritual end. And I think that's really important. And as you were describing to me earlier on, is that, you know, spirituality is different for a lot of people. And my guess is that there's a lot of confusion, misunderstandings, and perhaps a lot of guilt surrounding, you know, the spirituality, the scriptures, what people should or shouldn't do, even if you weren't that much into religion or scriptures. I think there's a lot of guilt associated with that as well, as much as it might be unconscious. And so you said something that I thought was absolutely brilliant as to what then stops us from doing a particular thing because of guilt. And therefore, we try something else to be better, whether it's just working out and forgetting the rest. And so explain a little bit about that connection, what you're talking about earlier on, which I thought was quite revealing.
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember back to what I specifically said, but really, so in my own faith journey, I guess, I'll share a little bit of my story and struggle briefly. In high school, I started struggling with anxiety really badly. For me, it's pretty debilitating internally, but I kept it under wraps because I didn't really know what to do with it. And having grown up with faith being very important to me, I turned to scripture in order to try and find comfort. And it wasn't until a lot later on in my life that I realized how, just like what you're saying, how the church can feel like they're helping when it comes to something like anxiety, and really, for me, internalizing it and moving backwards. So practically, what am I saying? So with struggling with anxiety, some of the verses, for example, that were shared with me often were some like, you know, don't be anxious about anything, or, you know, be strong and courageous, and or other verses about don't fear, you know, wait patiently for God. And these are true. I'm not negating that at all. But I didn't find true freedom from anxiety until I really got to the heart of what I feared more than anything in my life. And what right. I feared was, I feared being fully known and fully loved and not being good enough. And how I came to understand that fear, maybe we'll get into later. That was a pretty big life event for me. But where I found healing was not in the scripture or in the spiritual sense that spoke to telling me don't be anxious, you know, don't feel this way, but really got to the heart of what was the fear behind it. So So if my fear is being fully known and fully loved and not being good enough, then going to scripture that points to, you know, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, I was known and created before, or I was known before all of creation, that God had a plan for my life, and that I have the opportunity to live that out. That speaks directly to that fear of not being good enough. You know, how can I think that I'm not good enough when, and this is my faith belief,
right.
How can I think that I'm not good enough when the God who created the entire universe and everything around me created everything about me? Like, if I meditate on that, that's a much different response that I have internally than, you know, going to scripture to say, don't be afraid about anything.
So what's interesting that you're saying, and you know, I feel bad for you that you, and I don't feel bad for you having gone through that journey, because now look at you, and your worst times become your best times, and, mm-hmm. and magnificent as you are, you got that breakthrough, and so that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But that aside, again, it's sort of like, you know, why does this actually have to happen? And when, you know, people are, again, getting back to you, what you're saying earlier, you're checking off the boxes. You know, the focus and the culture focus, whether you're religious or not, it's all about doing. It's all external. You have to be this, you have to do that, and everything else. And I think Louise Hayes put it, you know, very succinctly, and working with the amazing Chad Cooper, who's also a coach and a good friend of ours. You know, he talks about human beingness, and so rather than doing, you shouldn't do this, should do that. You know, just be that person who you deserve to be. And in my own epiphany too, a couple of years back, is, you know, just giving yourself permission to be human, and, you know, forget about, you know, all the things that you might think are wrong with you. Guess what? You'd be right, because you think they're wrong. And the truth is that that's okay. I mean, I don't like the saying, you know, be perfectly imperfect, because that doesn't make any sense to me. What does make sense to me is simply this, is that you've got your faults, you got your weaknesses, be aware of them, and then do something about it. You're in charge of your brain and your thoughts and your actions. And so it's easy for us just to blame the rest of the world. You know, my father this, my mom this, my brother this, or, you know, president this, or whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm in charge and I can make that decision. That's why I like what you said earlier. You want to give people a choice. And I think part of the challenge that some people have, a lot of people, in fact, is that they don't know what their choices are.
Right.
And so the choice is, go ahead.
And not only that they don't know what their choices are, but that it's very frightening to sit in the unknown and figure out what their choices are too, because then they have to say, this is what I want. And I think putting words to what you want can be one of the scariest things also.
Yeah, because what happens if you were wrong? And that was one of mine, you know, and I was scared to choose certain things because, oh, what if I was wrong? And that's my personal hero's journey, as I discovered recently with my coach, as to what that was. And it was just, go ahead.
Sorry, you know, keep going. I want to I was just gonna say,
you know, and that's interesting. And the fun thing about me is that I get to go back and discover these things and figure out, oh, okay, well, that's where that came from. Well, that's cool. All right. So let me just resolve whatever makes me unhappy, and so I can be happy. And that's what I find is ultimately is you're in charge of that. And, you know, you see so many people with so many incredible limitations and horrible limitations, and they're the happiest people in the world. And that's a choice too. And so again, I think the big challenge that a lot of us have for one reason or another is that guilt. And it's just so unfortunate, you know, how people are focusing on that because of the environment, because of the culture around them. They're being pushed in a certain way, and it's tough.
Right. Well, and I want to speak to that too, because one of the most, you know, you talked about your breakthrough, and one of the thoughts that just really, really spoke to me and has been a huge breakthrough for me is being challenged with this idea of things being good or bad. And we, as humans, we like to categorize. Even that goes back to the beginning of, you know, you want to check the box. So when something happens, you know, you want to, our immediate response is, oh, this is terrible. This is so bad. Or, oh, this is the most exciting thing. This is so good. And what I found is that over time, how I categorize something changes. You know, for example, the figuring out my my deepest fear was being fully known and fully loved and not being good enough. That came because I was months away from getting married and, you know, listened to this laundry list of ways that I didn't measure up and why I wasn't good enough and why this guy was leaving and going a different direction, and I was devastated. And, you know, then fast forward 6 months later to meeting someone else who seemed like the answer to everything, and having that come crashing down shortly after as well. Both of those things were bad in my mind. And looking back now, how can I say that those are bad? Because I wouldn't be sitting here today if they hadn't happened. You know, right. I wouldn't have had the past 2 years that I've had if I wasn't left, for lack of a better word. And so, was it painful? Yes, it was. And by saying that, you know, by looking back and saying that was a good thing, I'm not negating the pain that I went through and the heartbreak that I went through because of it. And I think that's really important, that painful things don't have to equal bad things. But we can recognize the emotions in the midst of it. But years later, I can see how that changed the trajectory of my life and who I met in the 2 years because that happened. Right. And not just because it happened, but because of how I chose to show up in my life after it happened. And it's not, they weren't bad, right. Because I'm here.
Right. And if it hadn't been for that, you wouldn't be sitting across a Sedona eating your muffin. Exactly. How was that muffin, by the way? Was it good? You finished it?
I didn't finish it yet, but I'm saving it because I have more shows.
Yeah, you know, you're such a workaholic. You know, I totally respect that too. And I love, you know, getting you on the show because it's a reminder for you that, you know, I care about you, and it's also important to take care of your health. So I want some feedback from you, Sedona. I mean, you're such an accomplished person. How did anything of today actually resonate with you? And, you know, what are some of your thoughts?
Really funny, silly thing that happened today, but it totally resonated with me listening to this show is, you know, those like horoscope apps that like will tell you like what's going on. It sometimes they're like very freakishly accurate, and it was telling me that whatever was gonna like happen, something was gonna happen today or like this week, and it did. I lost somebody that was very close to me, and so when I was reading it, it was like you'll start paying attention to like your health, and you'll hear from people about like, I don't know, it's just this big long description, which is like exactly what's been happening, because that's like the first logical thing that happens. Like when you lose somebody, you start thinking about your family and your health and all those things. So I think the whole show has resonated with me today.
So the universe conspires to give us what we need.
It does.
And I truly believe in that. And as esoteric as it might seem to so many, I do believe we're all connected. And that's part of the reason for this platform, is really tapping into that collective wisdom and developing a generative collaboration where we can all work together in a smart way, an intelligent way, and so that we can all support and help each other. Because, you know, deep down, everybody's good. Everybody, if you want to use that term, by the way, you know, everything is motivated by positive intent. Bad behavior is one thing, but within our soul, within the deepness of our soul, you know, there's that beautifulness and magnificence that we all desire to really experience. And so you know, what I think is really important, and we only have a few minutes left, I believe. You know, we talked about, we had a great session with the Legendary Lifestyles that's led by Chad Cooper, a brilliant man, Marine, and has done so many incredible things in his life, and such a young guy as well, and out to make a huge difference in the world. And brought in this wonderful speaker today, Deborah Heiser, and talking about the importance of relationships. And obviously that's one of your focuses too. And what's interesting is that they were talking today about happiness. And as we get older, most people are become happier. They're more, let's say, emotionally intelligent, if you will. And a lot has to do with, you know, the relationships that people develop and the importance and that connection that we get to have with others. So share with us a little bit about your thoughts on relationships and the importance of those.
Yeah, I have come to really value relationships. And I mean, it sounds silly saying, because the weight of what that means to me isn't conveyed in those words. But, you know, one thing, tying it back to just my core, my passion of the connection of our physical, emotional, and spiritual health, one of the things that I'm learning is that when I am in balance, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, it really allows me to show up in my relationships in a different way. And what I mean by that is, when I am emotionally whole on my own, because I'm filling up, because I know what I value and what I believe, and I have congruency in how I choose to live my life, and I also feel good about myself physically in the sense that I'm taking care of it, then I don't need those things from other people. You know, I don't need that validation in my relationships. I don't need to be told that I'm a certain way. I don't need to be told that I'm enough or be told that I'm loved. And I'm not perfect. You know, just last night I was talking about this with my boyfriend and, you know, saying, you know, I need to hear that. And, you know, but that put off a flag in my brain of that also indicates that I'm out of balance, because I do believe that if I'm full and I have balance across those three areas, then I'm able to pour out love regardless of what I get in return. You know, and sometimes I think we confuse the definition of unconditional love, and we don't really realize that it means that when it's unconditional, it doesn't just mean that we keep giving and giving and giving, but it means that we give with no attachment to the outcome. Mm-hmm. And that's very difficult. When it comes to love, when it comes to forgiveness, that's really hard. You know, to know that, to release the other person from any expectation that you might have of what you know, of what they might say, that,
and there's no judgment. I think that's key, because
yes.
You know, it's easy when you judge someone mm-hmm. than to not be able to see the greatness in anyone. And what I love about, you know, not judging and just seeing the greatness in someone else, it also implies, for all those who just don't want to believe this, and it's absolutely true, is that you get to see the greatness in yourself, because you can't see the greatness in someone else unless you can see the greatness in yourself. And it's the same thing. You can't see the critical things in other people or that you want to criticize unless you have them yourself. And so what's interesting is, you know, sometimes when I'm judgmental, critical, I catch myself, well, hang on a second, okay, what's going on with me? And so I turn it as quickly as I can back to myself, not always as quickly as I'd like, because it gets me in trouble, especially with my relationships with my wife, you know, but the truth is, it's that at some point it says, oh, okay, well, this is what I was thinking about myself. But, you know, go ahead.
That is one of the most powerful questions, I think, is, what's going on for me right now? because so many times what comes up for us, it's based on our perception of what's happening. You know, it might not even be based in reality, but the emotions that I'm experiencing are because I've created something that's causing me to react this way. So what's the story that I'm telling myself about what's happening right now? And then that allows me to show up in a better way, because I can say, okay, I'm feeling really hurt right now because this is how I'm feeling. And I don't know if it's right or wrong. It just is.
Right.
And we move forward from this point.
And it really is true. I mean, we make our own choices, and we have to be responsible for our own feelings. We can't blame anybody else. And that the greatest gift that we can give ourselves, because the greatest coach in the world is yourself, and the, with the awareness of what's going on and your journey and track history. So, Katie, I really enjoyed talking with you today. I know our time is up. And just a quick question for anybody out there. If anybody wants to reach out for you and get you as a, for a workshop or a talk, how do they find you?
So you can find me on my website, thelifeinowlive.com. I'm also on Facebook. You can find me either through my business Facebook page, The Life I Now Live, or I'm on Facebook as Katie Williamson also. So you can find me there too.
Awesome. Well, I'm Dr. Bart Rainmaker, prescription for your transformation, real people, real conversations, and real success, talking to Katie Williamson, The Life I Now Live. And Katie, any last words of wisdom?
I would say that listen to your heart, listen to your gut. And if something's stirring inside of you, then I encourage you to have the bravery and the courage to sit in that and find out what that is. Because like you said earlier, the universe conspires against us to give us the messages that we need. And many times that's already living inside of us, but we have to be brave in order to hear them. So that's my encouragement, is to be brave and keep working on yourself, because it's worth it.
Spot on. Thank you so much, Katie. Sedona, again, thank you. And I will see you guys next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Join Dr. Bart Rademacher live right here on Radio Star Worldwide each week or on demand 24/7.